Check.
Good evening. I think the mic is too loud. Yeah, it's okay. It's good to be here today, and yeah, as Pastor Benny said, we are a people who value the word of God, right? Whether sun or heat or storm, we just came by faith, and God really will bless us for that. So, for a brief introduction, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. And the thought was briefly shared by Pastor Shala in the conference, and Pastor Ephesians 3 and verse 18 and 19. So the verse reads, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Another verse from 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. 1 John chapter 4 verse 8. And the verse, he that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. Right? So, if I have to give a title to this message, it will be love that passes knowledge. Love that passes knowledge. And I was just summing up the conference which we had. 4 points, basically, from Pastor Shala's messages. And Saturday night would be seated and rested, right? Seated and rested. Briefly, he covered on love that passes knowledge. Sunday morning was three people in a room. Sunday night was building your life on hearing the voice of God. And Monday morning was endeavoring to preserve the unity. And so after the Sunday morning service, I asked three people in a room. We know Jesus was there. And I was asking my wife, who is the sinner and who is the Pharisee? So I chose to become the Pharisee, and I told, you are the sinner. Okay, so I think that was a hallmark message, right? Three people in a room, right? So many people gave good feedbacks about that. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We ask you that you will bless this portion and speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So love that passes knowledge, right? So I was thinking about this, really, when Pastor Shala gave that example of about a person who left the church, and he kind of gave a feedback saying that I have better fellowship here, and I don't enjoy fellowship here, right? So whatever be the reason, but I really understood what Pastor was kind of communicate, and I studied a little bit of that, and the word pass, especially in Ephesians 3, it talks about exceeding, or it talks about going beyond. It talks about going over, and it is going above, it is going beyond, right? So that is what Apostle Paul is using here, and he's saying that the love of God actually goes beyond the knowledge which he has of us, right? And in Romans 5 verse 8, we see that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, and this is how he demonstrated his love, right? In Romans 5 8, God had all knowledge about us, every knowledge about us, and scripture also declares that we were actually enemies to him. But this God chose to go beyond that knowledge which he had of us, and that is how he demonstrated his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? Isn't that good, that God, though he is knowledgeable about us, but he chose to keep that knowledge of us aside and chose to demonstrate his love to us, right? And I was thinking one good example is when you the athletic event of javelin, right? The winner is one who throws, or one who goes beyond the others, right? He is the winner, right? So Jesus Christ's love chose to go beyond the knowledge of my sin. And while studying this, I was asking God, give me one character in the Bible who actually comes very close to this, who maybe understood as a good theological student, but maybe not as a practical student. The closest who I could think of was Jonah, actually. Right, Jonah was a man chosen by God, and God directly speaks to Jonah. God did not speak through a prophet to him, but God speaks directly to Jonah, and he gives him a commission to go to an enemy land. And that is missions in the Old Testament. And Jonah has two kinds of knowledge. Okay, the first kind of knowledge which he has is the knowledge of the enemy, and that is Ninevites, right? So he knows, Jonah we know is a very zealous man, and he has this knowledge of what the Ninevites have actually done to his people. And the knowledge that he has is that Ninevites, the capital city of Assyria, they are a brutal people. They are savage like beasts. They harmed the people of God. And he was like a zealous person, and he was like an eyewitness to what has actually happened. So he has this thorough knowledge about the enemy, right? The enemy of Israel. But on the other side, Jonah also has a knowledge of God, right? We know in the story, four chapters of Jonah, right? And when I think of Jonah, one day Pastor Guru and me were going towards Jayanagar, sitting in Empire restaurant on MG Road, drinking the pulpy grape juice. And I remember he telling me, okay, let's just read Jonah, you know. And we were just reading on a Thursday afternoon Jayanagar outreach, just like reading four chapters. He gave some points, I gave some points, just like, you know, just one-on-one. And I never forget, I really remember reading this book and just like understanding something more about the heart of God. And also in the last year convention, Pastor Shala preached about Jonah, actually. Right? It was really powerful. And here is Jonah. He has the knowledge of God, and reluctantly he goes. You know, we know the entire episode, how he was, he went to another place. He's unwilling to go, really disobeys God. But then God in his wisdom brings the fish. God in his wisdom brings the thunder, the storm. God in his wisdom allows all these things. But here is Jonah, finally makes up, okay, I will go to Nineveh, right? And in we see in chapter 3 that the nation repents. The nation repents. And in chapter 4, and if you read verse 3, Jonah makes a very interesting confession. Here he understands the knowledge of God. And he makes a confession that, God, I know that you are a gracious God. He has the knowledge that God is gracious. Second, he says, God, I know you are merciful. I'm knowledgeable of that, God, that you are a merciful God. Again, he says, third thing, God, I know I'm knowledgeable that you are slow to anger. Fourth, he says, God, I know that you are a God who shows great kindness. And fifth, he says, I know, God, when people repent, you will change your mind. He knows all these things. But one thing which he really missed the point was the knowledge of the enemy, no matter whatever it was, right? But the love of God went beyond that knowledge which he had, right? So we see that in Jonah's life, the knowledge of his enemies deeply affected Jonah a lot, right? So we see that there is There's lots of emotion. There is anger. There is like resentment. There is no joy in his life. There is almost like he wants to. Can you imagine going to a state three times in chapter 4? He says, "I want to die." What kind of emotion was actually raging in his heart? Right, the knowledge of even the wicked people turning to God could not cause rejoicing in Jonah. Right, so the knowledge of his enemies deeply affected Jonah. He was reluctant to minister to them. And the knowledge of his enemies also marred the true nature of who God is. Right, and that is what the Apostle John says, that he who does not love actually does not know God, for God is love. I'm like speaking to myself. This is so true, right? Because we are in the business of ministering to people, and if I garner hatred or some kind of maybe some disappointment, I'm gone away from knowing the true nature of who God is, and that is love, right? And how about this? Has knowledge like really frustrated you? It happened to the Apostle Paul, right? Some knowledge can actually frustrate us. And the cure is that love passes over this knowledge. How about knowledge of my own sin or my failure? It could really frustrate me. But the cure, what God is saying, is my love actually passes over that knowledge. How about the sin of my brother? Right? My brother failed me, or my people who I know actually have failed me. It really affects me. But this is what God is saying. The remedy is very easy. The love of God goes beyond that knowledge which you have. How about if you are in Jonah's place? What is the answer? The love of God goes beyond knowledge. How about if you are a team member on Jonah's team? Okay? Huh? Right? I see Jonah is like so emotional. He's like losing it. He's like angry. He's like, hey, you know what? What is the answer? The answer is the love of God goes beyond this knowledge which I have. Right? So, and this is what the Apostle Paul in chapter 3, he's saying, I pray that you will comprehend this. Comprehend is having like a mental grasp of this love of God. And then he says also that you take a hold of it, right? Take a hold of it is in your affections, in your heart. That is where the affections, seat of our affections is in our heart. And that is what the apostle is praying, that you have a mental grasp of this love of Jesus Christ, and you also take a hold of this love of Jesus Christ, which passes knowledge, right? So, in closing, I really enjoyed reading this, and God also had a knowledge. God had knowledge of Jonah. God had knowledge of the Ninevites. God had the knowledge that here is Jonah, a reluctant guy, an unwilling guy, a resentful guy, a bitter guy, but God still, knowing that Jonah is in such a state, still in his wisdom could use a Jonah. Jonah, I don't care how you actually feel this time, but you are the appointed guy for this point of time, and you are going to preach in Nineveh. Right? The story abruptly ends, but we know great is the reward of Jonah. You know, I was talking to Sarudan, and he said, had some good time with him. He said, I don't care whether I really practice what I preach. I'm just going to preach. What God gives me, I will preach. What he meant to say is not that he's not going to practice, but he's saying the Spirit of God will give me something and I'm going to preach it. Right? And Jonah was in that state. Right? And sometimes we have to believe this for our own selves, that the love of God passes knowledge. Right? This knowledge which I have could be of anything, but the love of God goes beyond, and I'm going to preach this message, right? So in closing, this is what Christ did for us, right? He has all knowledge of us, but he has chosen to keep that aside, and he demonstrated on that cross what the love of God is all about. Father, we thank you. bless this portion and give us more understanding and also prepare us for the coming message, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Okay, great word. Okay, we'll take the offering now. One thought on the offering. You know, in the epistle of Philippians, not Philippines, Philippians, okay? You see that church in chapter 1, if you notice, had a unique spirit. And I would call it, the church had an evangelical spirit, didn't it? So many times the word gospel appears in chapter 1. It was with that church Apostle Paul enjoyed the fellowship with them in the gospel. And everything, there's so many mention of the word gospel. And because this church had that in mind, what characterized this church? Two things characterized the church. One was great joy. They had great joy. And the second thing that characterized this church, which Apostle Paul mentions in chapter 4, is they became a giving church because of this. So it doesn't happen naturally, but it happens because of something that really takes hold of us, isn't it? So we are a church like that. We give, and we are a very joyful church, aren't we? Look at us. You know, we are looking. We just laugh for no reason. Can you imagine that? You know, there's no behavior here. We are just joyful and just like laughing and crying and loving. And as Felix said, at the same time, we are a joyful church, but we are also a giving church because our pastor taught us what it means. One of the very important foundation of our church is to be connected with missions, soul winning, sharing the gospel, right? And I think the giving in our church has been the fruit of that. So we'll continue on that. And what does Pastor Shala say? We are on a mission. Yeah, we are on a mission, and that characterizes the church. So let's pray for the offering and give by faith. Okay, Father, we pray that you would thank you for the word we heard and just really encourage our hearts. Thank you for saving us, and thank you for this amazing burden you give us as God's people, to think of the lost, to pray for them, to fellowship, to have fellowship in the gospel, and let your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Yes, and we strive together for the faith of the gospel. Thank you for filling our hearts with great purpose and great joy. And just bless our giving, Father, we pray now. In Jesus' name, amen.
How do you like my new look? It's not for style. I do have some power in both. But I also wanted to make sure it looked good, so. Yeah, okay. So, okay, for a brief thought, the word for this message is this Hebrew word, Mahanaim, okay? Like, Mahanaim, I don't know if you pronounce it that way, but Mahanaim. And it means two camps or two groups, two hosts, like, see, you are Mahanaim, right here, left-hand side, right-hand side. So, okay, I'll read this. Where it, the first time it appears is Genesis 32 and verse 1. And Jacob went on his way. Where did Jacob go? He had fled from his brother Esau for over 20 years, and he was coming back to the land and with his family and everything. And the angels of God met him. Wow. It really, angels met him. It it's as if like that which is invisible revealed themselves to be visible for like that time, you know. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place, that word, Mahanaim. Okay? There are these two camps that our life is in these two camps type of a thing. Okay? Think about that. So one is like visible, invisible, right? How about temporal things? We live, like we ride a bike, car, whatever, live in a house, temporal things, food. And then also there is eternal, right? So, and then the part that is like imperfect about, and then there is the perfected side, the way God sees us. It's like two sides to that. We'll come back to this word, all right, Mahanaim. But think about these two camps as the body of Christ and the bride of Christ, all right? Ephesians 5. 30, for you are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Say you can say that about your dad or mom. I'm like of the flesh and of the bones, right? Something like that. That is who we are in Christ. And it says this is a great mystery. This is a great mystery. And it is now, it is our life now, okay? But also we are the bride of Christ. Now here is the thing. Bride when? It's gonna come, but we are part of it, all right? I think about it this way. Body of Christ is a camp, and that's us. And there is like we are on a timeline, and then the day God snaps his finger like that, or the trumpet is blown, right? And then the next event, which is the rapture, 1 Thessalonians 4, and then this whole camp goes up. We are all like taken up to be with the Lord Jesus, right? It's like, whoa. It's a camp that goes up. Let's look at like one more scripture portion, okay? Revelation 21. This is the Apostle John, and then he's saying, as he writes this in verse 9, and there came to me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the last seven plagues. Terrible stuff has happened post the 7-year tribulation period. And then he's saying what? Come here, right? Come here. I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. It's like the bride is in her makeup room in the back, and like, you know, the makeup artist is like, you know, going, like, you know, dress and all that stuff is done. And then when the moment she is ready, then like, you know, okay, that's it, the bride, right? You and I are that bride. It's like, doesn't sound very masculine, but it's like, it's, I even researched a little bit, you know, one is Princess Diana. She died a while ago, but when she got married, sometime back I was watching a TV program, and then it showed like how long her dress was. She comes in this carriage, and then she gets down, and I think St. Paul's Cathedral, whatever, and then you go in and it's that, I think they call it like the tal or whatever of the garment, huh? Train, yeah, the train or something else they call it. And that, it's one, it's 145 meters in length. Was like, how, Chris is here, how long is this auditorium, Chris? The length? Meters? With this feet you're saying? Okay, so 20 meters would you say? 20 to 25 meters? Okay, multiply this distance by 6 times, right? It's like long. Long. It's like we are gonna be like part of that. That's just a picture of that bride. Okay. This is the Lamb's wife, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. This is the heavenly Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Okay? So now think of you and I, this same camp. It's a camp that is descending. And the thought I'm trying to convey with this is, there is this side in your life and in our life because of the sphere that God has brought us in, because of being born again, because of a new birth. You have a part in your life that ascends, and you have a part in your life that descends. You know, it's like Jacob sleeping on that pillow and then dreaming of that ladder, and then angels are going up and down. And let's look at a good picture of this in last scripture portion, okay? There's going to be 3 or 4 verses in the Song of Songs. Songs of Solomon. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. We'll stay in this book. We won't go anywhere, I assure you. 1 verse 5. So this is the Shulamite woman. She's saying, I am dark, I'm black, but also lovely. She's speaking to her companions. Oh, you daughters of Jerusalem, as this is, like, think about this. I'm black, but I'm also lovely, she's saying. It's kind of like us, or the experience of a believer, right? I have a sinful nature in me. But also I have God's nature in me. I have God indwelling me. I don't know how that happens, but it is true. And and then in verse 6, look not on me as if I am black, because the sun has scorched me. And then she's saying, my mother's children, they were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. Think of the words abuse. Think of the words victim. And these are very real things to our experience and to people's experiences. And then, this is it. This is it. Like, I like the thought which Felix shared, like, you know, knowledge, and then like, but I want to go beyond like something that I know, right? So I know, like, I know that this, I'm a sinful man, but like, you know, but I have this new, I want to see myself the way God sees me. I don't want to see it any other way. Right, there is this way, but the thing is, there is, God doesn't just leave us there, He also gives us a personal word to help us think that way in our life. And that is this, you can study this in same chapter, 1 verse 15. This is the this is the bridegroom, or Solomon, you can say. The bridegroom is speaking to the woman. Behold, you are fair, my love. You are fair. You have dove's eyes. Behold, like you are fair. Again in 16. Again in 4:1. Behold, you are fair, my love. You are fair. You have dove's eyes. This is like what the bridegroom is speaking. This is what the bridegroom is affirming, a personal word to the Shulamite. And this is also the sphere, or like our life, the new life that God has brought us into. And what happens? There is a change in the Shulamite in chapter 6. In chapter 6, verse 9, it says, again, it is the bridegroom. He's saying, my dove, my undefiled one. She's saying, no one like her. And the daughters saw her and blessed her. Who are those? It's the same companions. They were like, she's like, before she's like requesting them, like, don't look upon me like, you know, the way you see me. And then now they see her and they are saying, like, you are like the blessed one, blessed one. It's amazing. And now look at verse 10, 6 verse 10. Who is she that looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners? Wow, like, okay, fair as the moon, clear as the sun. This was not what was observed before in this little girl, you can say. And there is clarity of thought in her life. And there is like a deep sense of security, like knowing that she belongs to the king. And in 11, I went down to the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley and to see whether the vine flourished and the pomegranates budded. I laughed about this a lot because, you know, like the world can look at your life and they can say, like, you are nuts. That's what you are. You are nuts. But that's not a good application for this. I'm just offshoot thing. And then you can say, yeah, not only I'm in like the garden of nuts, and there are many other examples of my brethren like this, just like amazing. This is now, okay, here is what happens in 12. In an amplified Bible, it says really well. She is in the garden, right? She is in her own vineyard now. And she's checking if, like, things are, like, you know, budded properly and whatnot. And she stumbles into the company of the king and his friends, I think, something like that. But it's like when the Spirit of God is leading you and you have the peace that the Spirit of God is leading you, then that is also the evidence that your life, I don't have to worry about, like, how has my life been, or, like, you know, that word glorifying God directly relates to being led by the Spirit of God. And we are led by Him as children, right? And this is the thought. The things, even, not just the things we plan, but even the things we stumble upon in life, God uses it to be a witness of the life we share with Him. Even the things we stumble upon. Okay, so here is the last verse here. This is the friends of the bridegroom. Return, return, O Shulamite, return, that we may look upon you. And then the Amplified says a really nice statement. What is there for you to see in the poor little Shulamite? As if, and as if it were the company of two armies. It's that same word, Mahanaim. Okay, it's like two camps. So in this, I just wanted to say that there is that side of each and every one of us, a life that ascends, and we are like walking before God. I stand and fall before God, and we are walking in spite of our frailties, weaknesses, limitations. We're walking before Him. And then there is the life that descends, right? That is what, it's like the dance of that, like that Shulamite woman. And then people want to see. People want to see, where do you get your joy from? What's going on? And yeah, it is this fear that God has brought us into, and then that it is also, God is also a motivation to do what we do, to reach out to people, to edify, build up one another, right? So it's a whole new sphere. I have here, like, to close, I have here a story. Can I read it to you, just as a small illustration? Okay. This, I think, is a true story. It's not made up. An Argentinian golfer, Roberto De Vincenzo, won a tournament and the big check that goes with it. After the celebrations, he was strolling back to his car when he was approached by a young woman who congratulated him on his victory. She told him her daughter was seriously ill and close to death. She needed an expensive heart operation. And Roberto didn't think twice. He took out his pen and signed the check over to the woman. At next week's tournament, a golfing official approached Roberto and said he'd heard the winner's check had been given away to someone else, and he had checked and he told Roberto, "I have bad news," he said. "It was a con. You have been duped by that lady. There is no sick child. She's fleeced you." And this is his response. "You mean there's no baby who's dying?" "That's right," said the golf official, shaking his head. "That's the best news I've heard all week." That's his response. Can you see that? It's like it's like the guy is on somewhere else. He's on another plane, right? That's how strange your life and our life is in this world, right? Dear Lord, we pray for this night, precious week with the conference and missionaries and portions that were shared. We are believing that you're doing something great with our lives, Lord Jesus. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.